Blog Talk Radio.
Ooh. Yeah. You already know what time it is. It's that official time. When we take this worldwide. Let's go. Listen. So now it's time to turn it up. Surf the radio waves as we begin to burn it up. We all up in your area like landscape, definitely bringing you the power slamming pancakes. It's the mandate that you tune in. It's time to move out so we can move in and recognize that this is no illusion. I'm here to clear the air so that there is no confusion. It all started off in the book of Genesis when Jacob was wrestling with who he thought was his nemesis. And when the man saw he couldn't overpower him, he touched his hip but he really could have devoured him. And from that point then we hear a name change, rearrange the game, so now we gotta change. So I'm here to let you know it's time to listen to the Pancake and Power Slam Show. Let's go! Turn it up!
Indeed, it's the Pancakes and Power Slam Show. I am back. We are here, live and in living color, as Dusty Rhodes would say, the American Dween. I am Chris Featherstone, back at it, full force today. We will have our world correspondent, Derek, on the line shortly. And thank you all for listening this week. Like I said last week, I was on assignment doing some work for our special guest wrestler host. We're going to interview a special guest wrestler today. He will be on the line come shortly, a little further down in the show. But we're going to open up the line soon. So call in 347-884-8452. Once again, the number is 347-884-8452. We are live. Got some chat room open, of course, and we're going to go back to the Raw recap. We're going to go back into the transition to the full show here shortly. Today we're going to do the interview, so we won't have a full recap of every show like we have done in previous shows, which is the Raw, SmackDown, TNA, ROH. But check out my articles on Bleacher Report. I cover everything. But just like I said, we're going to go back to the transition in the upcoming weeks. Very, very happy to have a special guest wrestler on the show tonight. Very honor, very privilege. As you can see, Pancakes and Power Slams is making more and more improvements. And as you follow us on Crave Wrestling, you will check out some more news that will be coming up in the upcoming weeks for Pancakes and Power Slams. Once again, follow us at Crave Wrestling, Pancakes and Power Slams. Chris Featherstone is back and at it. We'll start off with some trivia. What pay-per-view did British Bulldog defeat Bret Hart to win the Intercontinental title? What pay-per-view did the British Bulldog defeat Bret Hart to win the Intercontinental title? And if you want to one-up me, where was the location? Where was the location of that wonderful pay-per-view? Actually, I think that is probably the second most poignant Intercontinental title match of all time, second to Steamboat and Savage at WrestleMania 3. I think that is the best Intercontinental title match of all time. I would say the second would be Bulldog and Owen Hart. I'll tell you what's so interesting about that Bulldog and Bret Hart match in 92, I believe it was. It actually may event at SummerSlam. That's how good and that's how anticipated that match was. It was a really, really good match. So much that it may event at the WWE's second best pay-per-view, second biggest pay-per-view of the year. So good to be back on the air. Pancakes and Power Slams. Let's get to Raw. Once again, 347-884-8452 will be opening up the lines. Get your questions ready for our special guest host that will special guest wrestler that will be on the show tonight. Get your questions ready if you would and open up lines. Call in. Also, if you have Raw thoughts, Raw recap thoughts, be sure to call in too. I'll be opening up the lines. Hopefully, you can get through. Hopefully, we have the time for it, but I should be opening up the lines here quite soon. So just be sure to call in. Chat room is open. Once again, the pay-per-view that British Bulldog defeated Bret Hart for the Intercontinental title and the location, if you would like to let me know that as well. Start off with Raw. Paul Heyman in-ring promo, attempts to quit, but CM Punk prevents it. I don't necessarily know what that was leading to, per se. I guess we have to wait in the upcoming weeks. Interestingly enough, CM Punk is still affiliated with is still affiliated with Paul Heyman. Very interesting to me because he's transitioning into Brock Lesnar, but Punk still comes out. So I wonder if by any chance this will lead to a CM Punk Brock Lesnar match at WrestleMania, maybe because similar to when Brock Lesnar turned face, I think it was back in 2002, he turned, it was kind of like a double turn. Lesnar was with Heyman, and Brock Lesnar he lost to the Big Show because Heyman turned on Lesnar. So I wonder if Heyman is going to turn on Punk and lead Lesnar to Mania. It would be something different and something fresh, but I don't know if I'd buy it, you know, buy the feud. I guess it's a bit of a backstory, which Paul Heyman guy is better, but I'm not too fond of it, but I think that it could work, though. I think I could eventually be sold if that was the case. Mark Henry defeats the Great Khali. This is pretty much a squash match. Basically, they're really doing a bunch with Mark Henry. They're really doing a ton with him, making him a monster heel again. And it's really surprising me because usually at this point in time, when someone has a monster push, you know, someone like Mark Henry, when they have a monster push, they get injured or come back and don't really be anyone of worth. But surprisingly, he came back in a really good spot last week, interrupting Sin Cara and Rey Mysterio, which interestingly is out of the Elimination Chamber match. I mean, Rey Mysterio is just so just. It's a weird way to describe Rey Mysterio of late. Like, you know, he's in, he's out, you know, he's injured, he's not, he's back, he's fourth, you know, he's with Sin Cara, he's by himself, he's in the Royal Rumble, he gets eliminated rather quickly. You know, he's just not really much of anybody, you know, now. And for him to be in the Elimination Chamber match, at least advertised to be in an Elimination Chamber match, and then just without any explanation, he's out, goes to show how really expendable Rey Mysterio is now, you know. So I would have kept him in the tag team division. Triple H seemingly wanted to revive the tag team division, but Team Hell No was having animosity, and then Team Road Scholars split up. You know, it was kind of like a overnight split up, and So the tag team division isn't even that important anymore. Primetime players, you know, you hear them, you know, but they're not very popular anymore. We saw Primo and Epico for the first time in you know, it seems like generations yesterday when they jobbed to the new form tag team of of Tensai and Brodus Clay, which recently, actually today, I wrote an article about that on Bleach Report. Check it out. It says Tensai has taken a weird step up. So it talks about weirdly how Tensai is making a step up in his career, just because, I mean, this is pretty excruciating to look at, but at least it's better than, you know, him jobbing everybody who breathes, you know, in the WWE. So it is a bit of a step, especially since his return was so overhyped, and now there's at least they're using him in some capacity. So once again, 347-884-8452, 347-884-8452. Got our special guest coming here on the show shortly. Be sure to call in with your raw thoughts. And we saw a backstage segment with Paul Heyman and Vicky Guerrero, Vince McMahon calls. Check out WrestlingInc.com, another site that I write for, one of the biggest, most popular sites, actually the most the biggest independent site in the world, and also one of the most popular sites, you know, from a national standpoint, WrestlingInc.com. I'm very humbled to be a writer for there. We covered a story of photos of Vince McMahon pre-surgery, so check that out on WrestlingInc.com. And then before we go to the wonderful Chris Jericho and Daniel Bryan segment, we will bring in our esteemed Raw correspondent, Derek. Derek, how are you today, sir?
Well, tonight I'm doing okay. But tomorrow's another day. What's going on with Paul Heyman? Paul Heyman has kind of got me puzzled right now. He's a weasel. I never really did care for him a whole lot. He does have an awesome wrestling mind, however. He's, I wouldn't want to say a pioneer, but maybe in a way. But he's just one of those personalities that never seems to go away. I wish he'd shave his head, get rid of the ponytail. Other than that, I mean, you make up a lot of good points with him bringing in Brock Lesnar. Back when he brought him in around SummerSlam and before that, then all of a sudden Brock Lesnar's back. Why is CM Punk still hugging on to Paul Heyman? But Heyman's got his, it looks like he's trying to get his ducks in a row. We still don't 100% know what's going on with him in the Shield, so we'll see what all that kind of pans out to. It's kind of keeping me a bit interested in what's going on with the world of Paul Heyman. Why Vince McMahon breaks his hip and Paul Heyman doesn't get fired just because Vince is out of action, that, you know, I'm sure they have HR people available. But, yeah, Mark Henry beating the Great Khali, that was a squash match. That was pretty quick. Khali was never really as credible as he could have been, or at least they didn't make him that way. But, yeah, I remember Mark Henry being, you know, he used to job to a lot of people. Now they're pushing him. They're kind of pushing him down our throats. You can't forget the past, but we'll see what the future is for him. The Y2J and Daniel Bryan. Again, Y2J can make anybody look good. He's a true class. He is a true professional. He knows his way around the ring. He always knows where he is and when he's in the ring. And any airtime with Chris Jericho, he's in the Elimination Chamber. That's awesome. He could steal the show, and I wouldn't be opposed to that. Kane also went to the spot in the Elimination Chamber. Kane is another one of those guys. He's been around for a long time. I like to see any kudos go to him. He's really proven his spot. And him and Brian, the thing with that is you can get anything out of Kane. He's a big red machine, but he can also be a bit of a comedy relief. That he's been on Raw, but that's what you expect from WWE sometimes. Rey Mysterio, you were talking about him earlier. Rey Mysterio is just kind of a pest anymore. Nobody knows what to do with him, what he's going to do with him. He's done a lot, but never really that high on my list as far as believable characters in the WWE. Raw has no tag team division. And that's something that happens to fall into every 10 years or so. They need to really start amping that up again. The Kane and Daniel Bryan can only go so far. It becomes too corny. They do some tag team talent. They should really start looking into that, make that somewhat of a priority. So, again, it was good seeing The Rock last night. I'm a huge Rock fan. So, airtime with him is great, too. I just don't want him to get watered down. But we'll see what happens in the next coming weeks. Monday Night Raw correspondent Derek signing out.
Thanks a lot, Derek. Really appreciate you every week on the show. Did a great week, did a great job last week while I was out. And maybe we will see Derek as the host in an upcoming episode. So, once again, thank you, Derek. All right, so we're going to go back to the show here. We're also, like I said, we're going to recap Raw. We're going to have our special guest here on the line soon. And then we will do the Flavor of the Week, the part two of will the WWE ever relive its glory days? We'll vaguely talked about it last week, but we'll get more in-depth in it this week. And then we'll have some brief Elimination Chamber predictions as well. All right, then we got the Chris Jericho and Daniel Bryan match. Man, I tell you, and this is, I'm going to go a little bit on this here. I think that, and I've said this before, I think I said this a couple weeks on the show, I just don't want Chris Jericho to go heel. Like, at the larger scheme of things, it really doesn't matter what I think, but at the same time, unless someone wants to, unless an indie promotion wants to hire me as a booker, cravewrestling@gmail.com. I'm open for bookings. Cheap plug right there. But other than that, it really doesn't matter, I think. My opinion is strong because I am a writer for the Bleacher Report and the WrestlingInc.com. I have my own show. But, what does that matter in the world of WWE, in WWE's offices? So, with that being said, hopefully Chris Jericho, like I said before, listens to the show and takes my advice. I really don't want Chris Jericho to turn heel because he has been a phenomenal babyface. I mean, like, this, he hasn't really even said much. He hasn't done much, much interviews. He doesn't even need that. He's been doing such a fantastic job with his interviews that I'm thoroughly impressed at what he's been doing, just as a wrestler. He's just been wrestling, not much interviews. He's just been giving us fantastic matches. His match versus Ziggler was good. His match versus CM Punk was phenomenal. His match versus Daniel Bryan last night was incredible. And I really think that we really need to see more of that. We need to see more just Jericho wrestling. And I don't see why, we'll get to the Elimination Chamber predictions shortly, but I don't see why they just don't have Jericho win the match, Ziggler cash in the title, the briefcase, and it leads to a Jericho and Ziggler match at the WrestleMania. I mean, that's been a good feud. They're still teasing it, so I don't see why not. I don't see why that wouldn't be a possibility. But we'll get to predictions later. So we'll see what I think of who's going to win the Elimination Chamber matches. Then we get Ryback, Cena, Sheamus defeating 3MB. Who cares about that match? Other than, I will say this, I will say some type of positive light to it. The sequential type of trying to be in sync, but not really. I think it was innovative. I like the finish of that match when Ryback had the shell shocked Cena had the AA and Sheamus had White Noise. That was a good ending to the match. Then we saw all three cut a short promo. I will still say that I like Ryback's promos. I mean, I think that his promos fit his character. He doesn't. He's not the most exciting person on the mic, but at the same time, I think that the intensity of his promos fits his character, so I'll give him that. Then we see Big Show come into the ring. Matt Stryker intends to interview him, but he KO punches Stryker. Then he holds a mic, then he drops and leaves. I have no idea what the point of that segment was. Absolutely no idea what it was about. I think that the Big Show, you know, and that's one. I wonder what the Big Show would do after Mania. We'll get to the Elimination Chamber predictions soon, but yeah, the Big Show. I really don't understand why this feud is still going. It just seems like it's a throwaway feud when it all comes to it, because this feud is going to end before WrestleMania. I don't think that there's any dispute that this feud is going to end before WrestleMania. Jack Swagger defeats Zack Ryder. I mean, Swagger... Jack Swagger, I'm on the fence with Jack Swagger, to be honest with you. I'm on the fence. Like I said before, you know, I was a little bit more critical towards him a couple of weeks ago, or last week, I'm sorry, I was a little bit more critical towards him last week. But I can buy, I'll tell you what would make me buy into Jack Swagger. What would make me buy into Jack Swagger would be if he, you know, gets back in shape, if he changes his music, and if he doesn't get on the mic often, because his mic work is not good, that music is awful, you know, compared to his new aggressive character, but his moveset is good. I mean, he's always been a good wrestler to me. I've really liked Jack Swagger's moveset, but he can work. But the thing is, you just had another monster aggressive heel come back. Mark Henry's got that, you know, already locked in, you know. So I don't see that happening as far as Jack Swagger getting any type of credit. I mean, you know, they are giving him some love and being in the Elimination Chamber match. But at the same time, you know, Santino was in the Elimination Chamber match 1 year, so... At the end of the day, that didn't really mean anything. Greg Khali was in the Elimination Chamber match, you know, before. So, you know, in hindsight, that didn't mean anything. Correct answer with the SummerSlam in Wembley Stadium was also the location. Next question is, who did Ron Simmons beat to win the WCW World Heavyweight Championship? Who did Ron Simmons beat to win the WCW World Heavyweight Championship? All right, so we have the post-match of Jack Swagger and Zack Ryder, which poor Zack Ryder. I mean, Zack Ryder is just a total waste of Raw time now. For him to be so popular on Twitter, for him to basically have such a following and such a support base, and when he was pushed, he was over. I mean, he had some really good pops, actually. And so I think that it's important for someone to have a consistent run for me to believe that they have a chance again, in a lot of cases. Of course, you have some people like Mark Henry who just goes off and on, but it seems like he is on, and he's going to be on for a while now. But I think that Zack Ryder, I don't see him getting an on season again whatsoever. I mean, I don't see Ryder. I just don't see Zack Ryder being anybody of worth for the duration of his career. And it's sad, too, because I recently wrote an article on Bleacher Report. I wrote it a couple of days ago. Check it out. It's called Would Kofi Kingston Ever Break the Glass Ceiling? And it's about how I believe Kofi Kingston's career is just so stagnant right now. And if it has a chance of ascending at all, he's had six mid-card titles. He's been four-time U.S. champion, two-time Intercontinental champion. But even with, he's been a three-time tag team champion. So even with those credentials, even with nine title reigns altogether, he still doesn't exude world heavyweight champion in any form or fashion. And I actually think that Zack Ryder's career is even worse than Kofi, because he has Zack Ryder has a tag team title underneath his belt and a U.S. Championship belt title reign. But it seems like when he won the U.S. title, it was like the world title to him. He petitioned for it, and he finally got it when he won. So I think it's important to really understand that Zack Ryder most likely won't have any type of relevance in the WWE. And it's sad, too, because I think his gimmick is, he got a bit stale, but I think his gimmick could still work, though. I think he can still be involved intricately in the mid-card feud still. So then we got The Miz defeating Cody Rhodes by disqualification. I think I'm confused by The Miz and Antonio Cesaro feud. It's a little off to me, actually. Like, I just don't see the chemistry with Miz and Antonio Cesaro. Honestly, I think R-Truth and Cesaro actually was pretty good. But the Miz and Cesaro, I don't know. I'm not buying that well. They had a pre-show match, and for some reason, I guess the WWE doesn't, I guess they're not really concerned about having someone else to feud with Cesaro right now, possibly. I would actually probably have some type of, leading into WrestleMania, I would probably have some type of four-way or six-way match for the U.S. title. And speaking of that, we'll get to the Intercontinental title status right now leading into WrestleMania and how I feel about that. But I'm not really buying in the Miz and Cesaro feud that much. It doesn't really seem like Miz has a shot. But I do like the Cesaro attack, though, when he swung Miz back and forth from that barrier. This guy has brute strength, and, Cesaro's, he's legit. He's a legit strong man. And you can tell with the neutralizing Kali more than once, and then, just kind of swinging the Miz around like a rag doll. And Miz is easily 220, 225 easily. I don't know what they're going to do with Miz post this feud. Cesaro, I think he'll be fine, but we'll see where that goes. And then I wrote an article about Tensai today. Brodus Clay and Tensai defeats Primo next Epico. It's a step up for Tensai. I just think it's kind of humiliating, to be honest. But at the same time, I think that it is a step up for Tensai. For him to have such an overhyped debut, There was rumors going around that, you know, he was going to return, you know, when he first re-debuted. And if you, of course, many people followed Tensai during his previous WWE stint when he was Prince Albert, and then he was Albert, and then he was A-Train. So in those times, I think that for him to go from that he wasn't that popular to come back, it wasn't the biggest news, but at the same time, I think that it was at least worth looking at least worth giving a shot. So when he came back, and then, you know, then he was Giant Bernard in Japan. He actually was doing very well with Carl Anderson as a team called Bad Intentions, and they were doing pretty good. Carl Anderson is really good. I think I've said this previous show. I just still wonder why he's not wrestling in the States. He's a great wrestler, in my opinion. But they were a good tag team. So he's doing well in Japan. He was doing very well in Japan. And then to come here just to have this weird gimmick, and you have your worshippers, quote-unquote, in Sakamoto, and, I mean, please, just give me a break. And then that was awful. He got the Albert chance, and, I mean, he even beat John Cena and CM Punk. You know, they groomed him for a very high push, but it didn't last long, and I didn't think it was going to last long either. Just because, I mean, he was just over gimmicked. I mean, the Japanese script. I mean, who is he, the modern day Hakushi or something like that? Like, I don't understand the point of all of the Japanese script on him. That was just over the top. I think they really painted him really bad. And I think he was just kind of set up to fail. Hence all the Albert chants during, you know, the matches. But now, you know, the dance-offs and things like that, it's funny, you know. So I guess it's a step up from where he was. Like I said, it is a little painful to look at sometimes from what we've seen so far. But according to the reports that we've had from people who has given us results on WrestlingInc.com, he's getting pops at house shows. I mean, so he's over. Tensai is over as a dancing buffoon babyface right now. Still has the Hakushi script on there too, but. Waiting for him to get rid of that, but I don't know. I mean, does this set up for a turn? You know, to lead towards a feud between him and Brodus Clay? I'd be okay with that. That'll give both of them at least some type of exposure. Do they stay intact to eventually go for the tag team titles? Do they have a WrestleMania match? Where does this go? You know, and really the state of the tag team division, period. The tag team champions are in the Elimination Chamber match. So that goes to show where the tag team division is. It's not being invested in whatsoever. For you to have the tag team champions in the Elimination Chamber match, like, are you really telling me that one of the tag team champions has a shot of winning the Elimination Chamber? I don't see it at all. I mean, you could have thrown two other people in there. You could have thrown Kali in there if you wanted to again. And of course Kofi Kingston. Well, it was previous world champion, so I guess Kali would have worked. And then, you know, Dolph Ziggler was trying to get a spot there. He's trying to be spoiler for Chris Jericho. So maybe that would have worked instead. But I mean, having Kane and Daniel Bryan in there, just not a good idea, you know. And I think that the tag team division is going back to how it was, and that's very unfortunate. So we'll see. I mean, we'll see where the tag team of Brodus Clay and Tensai is in the next few months. But as of now, we get to see Brodus Clay dance with Cameron and Naomi, and then Tensai do some weird, wacky dances too. Another thing, though, on a lighter note, I would say I do like the fact that Cameron and Naomi are both being more involved in matches. There's been reports going around ever since about last year that both Cameron and Naomi want to be more involved from a wrestling standpoint. And of course, we saw Naomi win a Divas Battle Royal to face Eve for the title at a pay-per-view last year. So that was a good idea. I like that they chose Naomi, and I like the fact that they're using Cameron and Naomi more in a wrestling role. They both kind of tag-teamed on Rosa Mendez yesterday after Tensai and A-Train defeated, or A-Train, Tensai and Brodus Clay defeated Primo and Epico. So we'll go forward with the Shield in-ring promo. Okay. I mean, I'm not buying the Shield, man. At first I liked them, you know, when they came, you know, 3 months ago, and I liked it. You know, I'm familiar with all three of them in the indies. And then when Roman Reigns was when he was in the NXT, he wasn't Roman Reigns at the time. And then of course Dean Ambrose when he was John Moxley in the indies, and then, you know, of course Seth Rollins when he was Tyler Black in ROH. You know, I think it was a good way to use those NXT stars in that sense. But all of the attacks, I mean, the match was an impromptu, just last-minute match with TLC. It was actually a good match, by the way. But just another attack on The Rock, you're attacking Orton. But now Orton's not really involved. Orton's not involved in the feud. And I just don't understand why not, though. I mean, John Cena's been world champ. Put Cena in there, you know, in the match. Maybe he can, you know, say that he's trying to unify the titles or something. You know, I mean, it's just, I would rather see someone else in that feud other than John Cena. I think that the Cena being in the chamber would have added more of a spark than Orton. You know, I know that Cena won the Royal Rumble. My point is, I don't think that Cena should have won the Royal Rumble. So, the title unification is a little absurd, but at the same time, you know, I'd rather see anything other than John Cena be in this Shield feud, because clearly this is a throwaway feud to lead him to WrestleMania, and I'm just not a big fan of it whatsoever. I don't see the point of John Cena being involved in this feud knowing that he's going to get out of it. And so where does that leave Ryback? Where does that leave Sheamus? Where does that leave the Shield, you know, come WrestleMania? So there's so many questions, and there's a good and a bad of that, maybe because the level of predictability is lessened. But at the same time, at least give us some type of course. Give us some type of intriguing course. For instance, the predictability that we have right now, is John Cena won the Royal Rumble, and we'll probably get Rock Cena too, unless CM Punk is involved and we get a triple threat match. We're not going to see anybody else in the WWE title picture other than those three. Rock, Cena, and Punk. Punk may not even be in the title team unless they have a unless Rock doesn't pin CM Punk clean come Elimination Chamber, which will give you my opinion on that shortly. But unless that happens, you know, those are the three that's going to be in the WWE title picture. I'm not looking forward to that whatsoever. And you know, if The Rock is involved, it's going to be the main event. So that may even be my bathroom break. The main event at WrestleMania, because I'm just not looking forward to it whatsoever. But Cena doesn't need to be in this feud. Lights go off, you know, after the Shield promo, and Cena Ryback and Sheamus appears and beat up the Shield, beat them up the crowd. Whatever, you know what I mean? I'm just waiting for this to end. Correct answer in the chat room about Vader. Great job. The next question is, who were the members of the team Power and Glory? Who were the members of the team Power and Glory? Alberto Del Rio defeats Damian Sandow. Sandow's taken a step back, without question. I mean, he was highly pumped. He was highly pushed when he came, you know, his career when he debuted. Highly pushed, he beat some notable wrestlers. However, the Team Road Scholars, when they decided to team up, it brought down Sandow, because at the time Cody Rhodes was just jobbing. I mean, he was a relative nobody at the time, no type of push whatsoever. And then for him to go from highly pushed to teaming with Cody Rhodes, which led to nothing because they didn't even win the title. So now they split. Now they're back together for one night only at the pre-show, going against Brodus Clay and Tensai, and I'll give you my opinions on that soon. But, you know, even when Cody Rhodes was injured, he still had his apprentice thing. So there was still something. I mean, he was still getting decently pushed. But now, I mean, I think that he was hurt. Now, and I said that from the beginning. And I think it's coming to be evidently true now. Damian Sandow, his career was affected in a negative way by his teaming with Cody Rhodes. Then we get Bo Dallas backstage attacking Wade Barrett. Then that's another thing that I wanted to address. Bo Dallas, I mean, no disrespect to Bo Dallas, okay? I'm not intending it to be that way. But Bo Dallas leading to WrestleMania in an intercontinental title feud with Wade Barrett, please. I mean, I like the fact that he was more aggressive yesterday on Raw, and I like the fact that he attacked Wade Barrett. That was a good idea. But I mean, we're talking WrestleMania here. Do we really want to see a feud between Bo Dallas and Wade Barrett leading to WrestleMania? I see absolutely no relevance of it. It would be okay if it was after Mania, you know, or way before Mania, but leading into WrestleMania, I don't want to see Bo Dallas and Wade Barrett on the road to WrestleMania. Please. Have Wade Barrett beat Bo Dallas. You can keep Bo Dallas around if you want to. I'm not opposed to Bo Dallas, but just leading into WrestleMania is just an absolute no for me. And I told you before, I wrote an article about Kofi Kingston a couple of days ago. I mean, this guy is just jobbing left and right now. Another loss by Kofi Kingston to Wade Barrett, I don't see any upswing anytime soon for his career. Of course, he'll probably be in the Money in the Bank match and give us an interesting spot. But other than that, yeah, I mean, I really don't see much. We'll have our special guests coming up here soon. Got a few more things to address on Raw, and then we will have our special guests coming up on the line. Kane defeating Dolph Ziggler advances to Elimination Chamber. That was pretty much apparent. That's pretty much a evident, you know, that was going to happen. I explained the tag team title picture before, and as far as Kane, you know, he's a good spot, but he's tag team champion. Then we got the Rock Hammering promo. I think the Rock Hammering promo was actually okay this time around. Like I've said before, he's pretty passe. His promos and everything, I'm not a fan of it whatsoever. But the Nashville story, I could buy it. It was okay. And then CM Punk getting the upper hand was actually a good thing. That was a good way to end Raw, by having CM Punk get the upper hand on the go-home show to Elimination Chamber. All right, well, we have, I am pleased to introduce our special guests for tonight. On the line, we have the Black Superman, better known as Onyx. How are you tonight, sir?
Hey, what's going on, man? I'm doing all right. How about yourself?
Awesome. Well, it's a pleasure to have you on the show tonight. Thank you so much for joining us. I want to start off, Onyx, by asking you a question. What
Go
made
ahead.
You start wrestling?
Well, I'll tell you, I've something that I've always really wanted to do. You know, I had to take a little time to make sure, you know, everything in my life was together before I, you know, fully pursued it, and, you know, the rest is history after that. My mother, she was a huge wrestling fan, and so, you know, of course, I got to stay up with her to watch Saturday Night Main Event and so forth and so on. So, you know, it's always been there. So that's a little bit of it right there.
That's awesome. Who are your inspirations in the wrestling business?
Well, you know, that, of course, you know, one of my favorites of all time, JYD, Junkyard Dog. You know, I was a Ahmed Johnson fan, Hacksaw Jim Duggan. I mean, you know, just about anybody from down here Mid-South. You know, any of the big guys, you know, the Hercules Hernandez, the Dino Bravo, those guys like that. So, but JYD, number one.
Uh-oh. Well, Onyx, who is your favorite opponent that you have faced so far?
Man, I'm not even going to lie to you, and this goes back to my mother, you know, rest in peace, but it had to be Hacksaw Jim Duggan. I faced him about a year and a half ago down in Kentucky. I think it was not Somerset, but it was somewhere down in Kentucky, and that was one of my mother's favorites because she was from Alabama, so, of course, you know, she saw all those guys, you know, coming up and everything. So when I got to wrestle him and everything, that was probably one of the best moments of my life, you know, just because I knew she was looking down from heaven watching it and everything.
All right, that's awesome. So who would you like to face that you never have?
You know, honestly, man, I'm not even going to lie to you, man. I want to go against Mark Henry. You know, big guys.
Be a nice match.
Yeah, two big guys in there mixing it up and, you know, seeing which one will fall first. Just put it that way.
who's the heel in that match?
You know what? I had to say him.
Okay, because you usually play a pretty good heel. He does too. So
yes,
but that. Yeah, that match would be pretty good. yeah, absolutely. That would be a really good match if you and him, you know, duke it out. So I think that was an amazing choice.
Yeah.
All right, so I'm going to name drop to you. I'm going to give you five names and give me about 10 to 15 seconds about how you feel. All right?
Okay.
You know, and you know, this let us know what you feel. We're gonna shoot on this one, Kevin Nash.
You know what? I'm probably one of the smartest guys in the business. You can't take nothing from him, and you know, every time there's been a pivotal change in the business, he's been right there. So I can't take nothing from that guy at all.
All right, awesome, Buff Bagwell.
Yeah, you know what? I've gotten to know Buff, actually. We've been on quite a few shows together. Man, that guy, one of the coolest guys you ever meet, give you a shirt off his back, at least with me. Now, I'm just speaking just for me, but I have nothing bad to say about Buff. Man, one of the craziest guys I've ever been around.
All right. Jamie Noble.
Oh, shoot, what can I not say about Jamie Noble? Jamie, he's been very pivotal in some of the things that I've had happen to me so far. So, once again, you know, very smart about the business, bright, could tell you everything. He could look at your match in 5 minutes, tell you what you did wrong, tell you what you need to work on. Hey, nothing negative to say right there.
Oh. Hulk Hogan.
Hulk Hogan, I think once again, one of the smartest guys when it comes to in the wrestling business. I mean, I haven't met him yet or anything, so I'm hoping that I do get to meet him here pretty soon. But, I mean, just look at it. The guy was relevant back in the 80s, and he's still relevant right now. So what can you say? You know, he's doing something right.
Awesome. And I had no idea about who your favorite opponent was, but I did have this written down. My last name that I was going to drop was actually Hacksaw Jim Duggan, so you can go further on him if you'd like.
Well, like I said, that was one. There's a lot of things connected with that one, just because, you know, with my mother and everything, like I stated earlier. But, you know, I've been on several other shows with Hacksaw Jim Duggan in Pittsburgh and West Virginia, in North Carolina and stuff. And, I mean, Hacksaw is one of the nicest guys that you will probably ever meet. He's very straightforward, caring guy, just all-around good guy.
Awesome. So I know personally that you dominate the territories and that you've, been a world champion in the Indies and a lot of territories. And I know that you're very popular, you know, within the independent promotion. So, you know, let the world know who you are, how long you've been wrestling, and all the accomplishments that you've had so far.
Okay. Well, you know, first of all, like I said, my name is Black Superman Onyx. I've been wrestling now for at least since 2007, 2008, give or take. I started right here I'm here in Columbus, Ohio. I started right here with a promotion named the IWA. I was trained by a guy named Bull Miller somewhat. I eventually branched off from them. I was doing a lot of traveling down to HWA and Ego Pro Wrestling and, you know, just to get further my training and everything. And the rest has been history with that. As of right now, I'm the NWA Premier Heavyweight Champion. They run out of Huntington or Logan, West Virginia. It's an NWA affiliate. I have a real big match to get one of my big belts back from the APWA against Rhino March 9th in Parkersburg, West Virginia, at the Parkersburg High School Fieldhouse. So, I'm really looking forward to that because, you know, Rhino stole my belt from me. So it's time for me to get it back. So he got a lot of questions to answer, just put it that way.
Awesome. So, with that being said, you have let us know any other upcoming shows that you have, and give the world one last word to Rhino.
All right. Well, like I said, that's my big show here coming up. I'm pretty sure that I'll be back down in Moorhead, Kentucky here pretty soon for new OCW. We got 304 Wrestling next month, and down there in Huntington, West Virginia. I'll be up in the Pittsburgh area for a couple companies up there. So, you know, Onyx is about to get the bus started back up and, you know, be on the road again. And my last thing, shout out to Rhino. just be prepared for what's going to happen to you March 9th, because it's just me and you in that ring together. If we know what happened last time, if one for what happened last time, if you know what I'm talking about, it'll be totally different. But now it's just me and you. We're going to see who got it now.
All right. I think Rhino is, he's got a big black Superman Onyx to look straight at, you know, in the ring on March 9th. And he might be shaking in his boots, man. And hopefully you've already intimidated him mentally to get the rest of the job done. We really appreciate you, man. And we this is a pleasure to have you on the show. And thank you so much for your time.
Okay. Thank you, man.
All right. Have a great night.
All right, you too.
Bye-bye. All right. Well, thank you once again, Black Superman Onyx. Once again, you can check him out March the 9th. Follow him on Facebook, Onyx Black. He is the Black Superman Onyx. He just dominates the NWA territories. And like you said, check out NWA Premier. It's a really good independent territory. Like he said, NWA affiliate. Follow him on Facebook and just check him out. He's a very, very, like I said, very popular in the indie scene and just really been dominating the independent scene for the past 5 years or so. He's wrestled some really good names, like you said, Hacksaw Jim Duggan. He's got a match with Rhino coming up on March the 9th, and hopefully we will have Rhino on the show soon before March the 9th to address his statements that he made on the show. So thank you so much once again, Onyx. Last part of the show, we're going to, well, two more parts of the show, we're going to talk about if the glory days of professional wrestling can never be relived, and then we're going to quickly do some Elimination Chamber predictions. So, Hercules and Paul Roma is indeed the right answer. Great job, chat room. Next question is, what was the one-man gang's gimmick when he was managed by Slick? What was the one-man gang's gimmick when he was managed by Slick? Once again, thank you all for listening. The lines, you know, we're running short on time right now. Thank you so much, Onyx, for your interview. And for all of you new listeners, 347-884-8452 is the number to call. Just interactive chat. The chat room is open. I say just random trivia questions every week. Just, I mean, it depends. It doesn't matter what decade it is. I mean, just random trivia questions every week. Wrestling has thousands and thousands of trivia questions in it, so it definitely was. It definitely is fun to do the trivia part of the show, along with all the recaps and the flavor of the week. And it's a good segue. Flavor of the week is just a random wrestling discussion topic. Once again, just totally random. You know, just 1 week we may talk about the NWO. The next week we may talk about, you know, World Class Championship Wrestling. It just doesn't matter. So this week we're going to talk about reliving. Is it possible for the world of professional wrestling to relive the glory days of wrestling? Now, I'm going to say to me, the glory days is the 80s. WCW for the NWA World Championship Wrestling show on NWA. And then, of course, you know, the early 90s, it migrated to WCW. WCW branched off itself. Turner, you know, got the WCW, and it became its own entity, breaking away from the NWA and you know, of course, Jim Crockett back in the 80s. So it's very fun, and I think that was definitely something that was the glory days, was the 80s. And I believe that's the question is whether it can be relived. I mean, you got your Ric Flairs, you know, back in the 80s. You know, it was incredibly popular back in the WCW days, it just really seems as if that really set the tone for what we know as professional wrestling. And then, of course, you got the Hulk Hogan, you got the Hulk Hogan era, the when he was the immortal Hulk Hogan, you know, winning his titles back in the early, winning his first title back in the early 80s, I believe it was 84, was his first reign against the Iron Sheik. And that's basically the glory days. I consider the 1980s as the glory days of professional wrestling. So with that being said, can we recreate the glory days of wrestling? And my answer, without question, interesting dichotomy there, is no. I don't think it will ever come back. You can even add on to the Attitude Era. A lot of people's favorite part of wrestling was the Attitude Era. Personally, that was not mine, but the Attitude Era was, in a lot of people's opinion, the best era of wrestling. And I don't even think we can relive that. I mean, I do understand how important, how big the business was at that time, as far as, you know, the Attitude Era is incredibly popular, and I understand all that, you know. But even with that, I don't think it can be relived. It just can't. With the Cenas and with the lazy booking, you know, that we've seen, you know, over the years, I really don't think that we can see something that's even close to something of that nature. You know, I don't think we can at all. Why is the next reason? One, because back in the day, it was so focused on good promos, and I've even talked to this to a few of my colleagues before, that now you have merchandise. Now you can buy a T-shirt. Now you can watch some video. Now you could get pushed without even, you know, having the essentials, the necessary essentials, which is good mic work and, you know, good athleticism. Beforehand, back in the NWA days, if you remember, that in the World Championship Wrestling episodes, in that little bitty room, basically it would be that little ring with the little crowd around the ring and the podium literally like 10 steps away. And that, to me, was so intimate. That really brought out what wrestling is all about. It was passionate. The mic work was stellar. You know what I mean? And you had to be good on the mic. It doesn't matter if you were Ric Flair, Tully Blanchard, Arn Anderson, Barry Windham. Luger was even decent around that time. Nikita Koloff, you know, he got so entrenched in his character, he changed his name to Nikita Koloff. And he basically learned how to become, you know, and speak Russian, you know what I mean, on behalf of his character. Nikita Koloff is a guy from Minnesota, okay? He's a guy from Minnesota who basically sold the crap out of the fact that he was Russian, you know, and I think that he did a phenomenal job, and that was his, you know, promo. Sting was exciting at that time. His promos were good, you know, and you had to sell yourself. But now the promos aren't that innovative, you know what I mean? They're kind of cheesy. I mean, John Cena's good on the mic now, you know, but, I mean, this guy, I mean, he would tank if he was back in the glory days because his promos are good for the now, but at the same time, John Cena's promos don't really have the emotion that came behind the promos of the glory days. I guess it's just a change of times, but I don't think we'll ever get back to how wrestling used to be as far as the passion that was involved with the wrestling. And I don't know who to point the finger at. I don't know if it's the fan base. I don't know if it's the creative team. One contribution I do think was going into the 90s, and especially the Monday Night War days, I think that is probably a second, quote-unquote, glory day. The NWO versus the Attitude Era, you know, things like that. I think that was probably the last moment of wrestling that was very exhilarating and exciting every week, you know, because they have that competition. Now, you know, you got TNA as a very distant second from WWE. I think WWE needs that type of competition to maybe revive the glory days in any type of chance. You know, my answer is no, because I don't see a close second. I don't see a number two promotion rising up to compete, you know, for number one unless, you know, some millionaires come together as a unit and, you know, take some people away from WWE, take some people away from TNA, and get some, you know, wrestlers who have been involved with one or both promotions that are wrestling in the indies. Unless they do that, you know, I don't see any number two promotion rising up. You know, ROH is a good product, great wrestling, you know, you've got, you know, Bobby Fish making a name for himself now, Jay Lethal. You know, of course, you have Kevin Steen. You know, you have some good wrestlers. It's a very good wrestling company. The Wrestling's Greatest Tag Team are there. You've got some good wrestlers, but the production and then, you know, the entertainment aspect of ROH will never put them past the level that they are now. So I don't think with all the glitz and glamour and the pyro, you know, that the WCW and WCW had to compete against WWE, I don't see any other promotion like that. TNA has made an improvement, you know, over the years, but I don't think it will still be ever good enough. So we actually got a call. I'm opening up the line for a caller to talk about this. Let us know your name and where you're from, and what are your thoughts?
Hi, my name is Phil. I'm from Cleveland. And I kind of want to go with the glory days of wrestling back in the 80s. You had two different types. You had a choice. You had a choice in the 90s with WCW or WWF. But back in the 80s, you did have the intimate settings with the NWA. They had they were still coming off like the smoke-filled gymnasiums from like back in the Hurley Race days back in the 70s, and you had that, the more grit, the more rough wrestlers. And then Vince McMahon had the more family-friendly. It's easier to get behind our heroes than it is the NWA if you're just, you know, the casual fan. But that brought the casual fan in. You got behind Hulk Hogan because he was the All-American Hero. You had Ric Flair, you had the Four Horsemen and Dusty Rhodes, but again, their name was Ric Flair, their name was Dusty Rhodes. You had Hulk Hogan, you know, a Hulk. You had your Mr. Wonderful Paul Orndorff and your Roddy Pipers. You had the more character-friendly that, again, brought in a younger audience, made it more family-friendly, and made it more exposure. if you want to point the finger at anybody, you kind of have to point it at Vince McMahon in a way. He oversaturated the sport to where, you know, it's not a sport, it's entertainment. It was always entertainment. But with the NWA, you had the roughness, the blue-collar guy getting up and just, you know, being a champion. So the glory days of wrestling, the 80s, I can see that because, of, you know, you had the rock and wrestling, you had the glitz and glamour of WWF that always had a full house, a huge crowd. Then you had the NWA inside the gymnasium, with a very small crowd, but, I mean, those crowds, you know, got into it just as much as 20,000 people at Madison Square Garden. Glory days of wrestling, the 80s, yeah, definitely. The Attitude Era was kind of a rebirth. Again, you had the WCW clawing at the WWF, and then you had, you know, it was just back and forth, back and forth. That was awesome. TNA has really nothing to offer as far as rebuilding that glory day, that wrestling. Will they ever get back to that? Will they ever have a rebirth like they did in the 80s, they did in the 90s? It's been lacking since. So, yeah, I agree with you. That's my input on it. So, yeah. Thank you very much for having me.
All right, thanks a lot, Phil. Appreciate your call. May have more time for another call. We'll see. 347-884-8452. Thank you, everybody else, for holding. I agree. I agree with Phil. I think that beforehand it was so focused on character building. You know, it was the larger than life characters. It was the Hogans. It was the, you know, Stings for the WCW. The larger than the Randy Savages. You know, Ultimate Warriors. You know, they keep coming. You know, they keep coming up. And it was character building. I mean, you know, back in what 91 was Slaughter. You know what I mean? Like for instance, you had Sergeant Slaughter come. You know, on the cusp of, you know, Desert Storm, you know, and basically to, you know, I mean, you want to talk about some legit heel heat. I mean, at that time, you know, I mean, that's creativity. You know, we won't see that now. You know, I mean, maybe because of the sponsors, maybe because of, you know, the sensitivity of this day, probably so. But we won't see that. They tried to do that with Muhammad Hassan a few years ago with his feud with The Undertaker, and then the network kind of nixed it, and then Hassan just went, you know, somewhere in the abyss. Last I heard, he's acting now. So we probably won't have it because, one, the sponsors. I like the PG era. I keep saying that because it brings out the creativity in the booking, although the booking's not being that creative, but I think the PG era does bring out the creativity because anybody can throw up middle fingers and drink beer and get a bunch of, you know, crowd reaction. But when you really spend time to take all of that away and see if you can still become over as a babyface or a heel, I think that's why I endorse the PG era. Because of that. I mean, of course, the edginess is cool and things like that, but, you know, I think I want to get back to the character building. So, great discussion. I don't think that we'll ever relive it, but at the same time, you gotta love wrestling. So, or if I was, you know, Harley Race, you gotta love wrestling. Or if I was Booker T, you gotta love wrestling, dog. So, excuse my impersonations. I'm not trying to be Jason Sensation back in the old late 90s. He did a phenomenal job of Owen Hart, by the way, during that parody. I'm not a nugget. So that was really funny. So, you know, we always have things to talk about in Pancakes and Power Slams. As you can see, Derek, you know, he also is a former wrestler, and you know, he wrestled in a very reputable independent promotion, so he knows his stuff. And of course, you can tell from from every week. I love wrestling. I write for two huge websites that I'm very honored and humbled to write about. Check me out on BleacherReport.com. Search for Chris Featherstone. I am over a million reads now. I don't know the exact number, but in less than a year, I've been with the Bleacher Report. I've gone over a million reads now. So thank you so much for your support. If I had as many reads as I had Twitter followers, I'd be up there with Zack Ryder. So if you read my articles, follow Crave Wrestling on Twitter. And as the numbers that I see after the listens of the show is pretty significant as well. So I would have a bunch of Twitter followers based on the people that I see that listen to the show too. So I'm really trying to push my Twitter. So follow Crave Wrestling. Follow Crave Wrestling for up-to-date news, for awesome trivia. Follow Crave Wrestling. I'm going to start promoting the heck out of the show and promoting the heck out of the Twitter. Crave Wrestling. Also, like Crave Wrestling on Facebook, Twitter, and up-to-date news is there. I'll be posting my Bleacher Report articles on there as well, my WrestlingInc.com articles. And please check out, I'm pretty sure most of these listeners check out WrestlingInc.com because it's incredibly popular. So I'm really humbled to write for WrestlingInc.com. So, you know, I cover stories, I cover news there. I also write articles myself there. So thank you so much. Thank you so much for the Onyx for being a part of the show. Our first wrestling interview of the near year run of Pancakes and Power Slam. We're just going to get bigger and bigger. Hopefully we'll have Rhino on the show soon before the big March 9th showdown between Rhino and Onyx. Be sure to support Onyx on Facebook and check out his shows. And if you're around town, I mean, this is a nationally listened to, nationally aired show. So wherever you are, if you can go and support Onyx, be sure to check him out. I am signing off. I am Chris Featherstone on behalf of Derek, our Raw correspondent. Like I said, once again, follow at Crave Wrestling on Twitter. Follow at Crave Wrestling on Twitter. Check me out, Chris Featherstone, on WrestlingInc.com. Check me out on Twitter, at Crave Wrestling. Like Crave Wrestling on Facebook. And until next week, enjoy Eureka Wrestling. Before we get to that, let's quickly get to the Elimination Chamber predictions. Akeem is the correct answer to the one-man gang gimmick. Real quick, the sixth man, I believe that Sheamus, Cena, and Ryback will win there. Cena losing a match right before WrestleMania makes absolutely no sense. That's not going to happen. World Heavyweight Championship, Alberto Del Rio defeats the Big Show, but I believe that the Big Show KO punches Alberto Del Rio and Dolph Ziggler comes in and cashes the Money in the Bank briefcase and becomes World Heavyweight Champion. The WWE title, I think it's a given. I believe it's a no-brainer that The Rock's going to win. For them to revolve their product around him now, just for him to lose the title 3 weeks later at a minor pay-per-view, that's just not going to happen. And then the Elimination Chamber, we got Mark Henry, we got Randy Orton, we got Kane, we got Daniel Bryan, we got Chris Jericho, we got Jack Swagger. I would, you know, if it was my idea, I would choose Chris Jericho to feud against a newly acquired champion, Dolph Ziggler, going into Mania. That would be a phenomenal match. That would be exciting. But I unfortunately think, and I don't want this person to win, but I unfortunately think that Randy Orton's going to win the match. I don't want it to happen, but I got a really unfortunate gut feeling that Randy Orton's going to win the chamber match. And of course, Team Rose scholars will be fed to Brodus Clay and Tensai, which you can go to www.com right now they've got a feature on WWE.com that you can choose what name is going to be given to Tensai and Brodus Clay. So, yes, ladies and gentlemen, they are forming to be a legitimate tag team. So, Randy Orton goes to WrestleMania and battles for the World Heavyweight Championship, unfortunately. So, hey, to end it with a bad note, so let's make it a good note. Follow Pancakes and Power Slams on the archived episodes on Blog Talk Radio, and subscribe to Pancakes and Power Slams on iTunes. You get to watch every episode all the way dating back to the first episode last April. And thank you so much for supporting us. Follow at Crave Wrestling on Twitter. Until next week, have a great week of wrestling. Enjoy Elimination Chamber, and we'll be back next week, God willing, to talk about the aftermath of Elimination Chamber. Have a great week. God bless. Goodbye.